Hello and welcome to Plot Dress.
This is Lane.
This is Meg.
And today we are reviewing Dreaming of You by Lisa Kleypas.
And we're joined by special guest.
Hi.
What's your name?
Allie.
This is Allie Learns to Read.
It's Allie Lockhart.
That's right.
And yes, so we're reviewing Dreaming of You by Lisa Kleypas. This was published in 1994 and is the second book in the Gamblers of Craven series.
We are reviewing this for two reasons. One, Allie is in DC and we are all together.
What's up? We're in Lane's living room / kitchen.
Yay! I mean, sure. And two, a couple of weeks ago, Meg and Allie put up a post about their feelings on Lisa Kleypas' top 9 heroes.
Yeah.
And all of us had a really visceral reaction to Dart Craven being on it.
Yeah.
Y'all had some feelings you were coming at us with.
Because, yeah, we didn't like Derek, weirdly.
Spoiler, we're not huge fans.
So, one, if you generally like our spoiler-free-ish discussions of, like, will you or will you not like this and what are the major themes to stuff, we're going more sinister style here.
This book was published in 1994, guys. Like,
I was 4 or 5 when this book came out, so
I was older than that.
I was 7.
So, in fairness, I've lived a lifetime since this book came out. Spoiler tags no longer need apply.
No. So, yeah, we're just going to go through the book, really talk about it, and our feelings, like how we feel about this
book. We're going to unpack a lot of feelings, and not a lot of them are great.
Right, so that's, I guess, the other disclaimer is if you really love Derek Craven and are not here for slander.
And there are a lot of you. He's a very popular guy in historical romance.
Which is why we were confused.
Yeah, honestly. Puzzled, I think.
Perplexed?
Yeah. All right. Should we read the book jacket, Lane?
Yeah!
Can I start? Because this first line. Book jacket. She stood at danger's threshold. Then love beckoned her in.
A prim, well-bred gentlewoman, Sarah Fielding is a writer who puts pen to paper to create dreams. But now, curiosity is luring her from the shelter of her country cottage into the dangerous world of Derek Craven. Handsome, tough, and tenacious, and the most exciting man Sarah has ever met.
Derek rose from poverty to become the wealthy lord of London's most exclusive gambling house, and now duty demands that he allow Sarah Fielding to enter his perilous realm of ever-shifting fortunes with her impeccable manners and her infuriating innocence. But there is a hidden strength and sensuality to the lady that captivates him beyond his better judgment.
And in this world, where danger lurks behind every shadow, even a proper mouse can be transformed into a breathtaking enchantress. And a cynical gambler can be shaken to his core by the power of passion and the promise of love.
Why are you looking at me?
This is word vomit.
Not good.
It doesn't really get at what the book is about at all, but also what is the book about?
Thank you. Because it's not about anything.
Basically, Derek is a cynical bastard who's given up on love, which we've never seen before in romance novels. So, like, wrap your brain around it. And Sarah is a wallflower author, which, again, we're really breaking barriers here.
I mean, to be fair, this was published in 1994.
So I don't know what the scene was like then.
The scene. This was brand new shit.
No one had ever, a woman who could read was really a novelty.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. This is considered groundbreaking, and I don't know why. I think it's because it doesn't include main characters who are titled.
Yeah.
That's, like, the big thing. Now, don't worry. He's still filthy rich, so, like, we're not dealing with any poors here. That's fine. But he doesn't. He's not an earl. He's not a duke. He's just, like, a dude who rose the ranks, and now he's, like, a businessman, I guess. So he's, like, a darling of the working man hero, even though he's not great.
So here's my problem with that assessment. You're probably right. Like, I'm not questioning your knowledge of romance novel history.
You always can.
But, like, who gives a fuck? The point of the titles is that, like, they're people who don't have problems right. about survival. And so if he's so fucking loaded
yeah.
that there are no real, like, needs
stakes.
Or there's hierarchy. No stakes. Like, what's the hierarchy of needs?
Paradigm? Maslow.
Thank you, Maslow. Like, if that's not in consideration, who cares if it's because he's a duke? Or because he's got money. We've seen poor dukes before.
Yeah.
But because they're still inherently privileged, it's still a tropey romance novel.
Well, I mean, think even in the summary, he's called the Lord of London. Right?
I get that
it's metaphorical.
The Lord of London.
So, like, cool, he's had sex for money.
I wish that had been talked about more because, yes, he was a sex worker.
There's so much to say.
Oh, but
about
don't
that.
Worry, only with women.
That's the thing. That have every single historical romance novel where he's a sex worker, he only had sex with women.
Except and for only like rich women. Like even women who are sex workers have to make a lot of compromises in like who they fuck. And he's only fucking like hot widows.
There was an episode there was a Dan Savage column where they were discussing like male sex work. And his thing was like, there's a supply and demand issue. And like, if you think that you're gonna be a dude who's selling himself to women, there are too many guys willing to give themselves out for free.
Yeah.
Like, it's simply capitalism at work. That's probably not going to happen. And even in, is this Regency era or is it a little bit later?
We are the wrong people to ask.
I think it's in the middle era.
In the middle era of England.
It's after Regency, but it's before Victorian.
Well, in this weird
second Georgian
tenuous area of England, when people probably didn't have great hygiene, everybody had syphilis, there was rotting teeth galore. Like, I just don't think that would have been mm-hmm. a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No. And I mean, I feel like a total bitch, but like every single time we see this trope, I'm like, it doesn't happen. You know? It's not.
Well, it's also,
we're talking about romance.
It's the romanticization of sex work.
Yeah.
Also, like, which is what I kind of inherently actually have the problem with.
Yeah.
That, yeah. The only moral you have to compromise when engaging is sex work is you know you're engaging in sex work.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, they're people you are now fucking for free anyway.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, as usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 50. And then we wrote summaries using that number as a word count. For this episode, that number was 36. We're just going to go in the order that they are in our notes. So that means I'm starting.
Shocker.
Here's my 36 word summary. Sarah is innocent and knowing and ready to kill people attacking men in the bad part of town. Turns out that's Derek Craven, most jaded man in London, who falls immediately in love with her.
Correct.
Allie.
Hello. Guttersnipe rises to riches while not banging sex workers. Timid Mouse writes spicy novel and refuses to speak plainly to her fiancé. The other woman can't just be jilted. She has to be a fucking psychopath.
So that was an actual summary of this book. For getting all of that into so few words. Because Meg and I clearly didn't bother.
What's your summary?
Man who is only motivated by money and not making decisions is romanticized by a woman who invents people professionally. Maiming and murder in response to being dumped is definitely reasonable, and Scotland is a fitting punishment.
What a great time.
All right. I don't feel like there's a theme to this book, right?
Yeah, okay, so the big theme is, like, piece of shit man.
Yes,
it absolutely is.
Like, miscommunication or just not talking about things. Because so Derek doesn't want Sarah to accompany him to the casino, but he's like, I'm dying, so I don't really have a choice. He doesn't want her to hang out, but like, he doesn't really say that. Sarah wants to talk to Perry, but she doesn't do that. And then Derek misses Sarah, but then he doesn't say anything. Like, it's all just like people not saying shit to each other.
In all seriousness, like, what is the major theme in the romance novel? Like,
okay, in all seriousness,
it's the guy who doesn't believe in love and
right.
won't open up.
Yeah. And
it's the man, the ingenue, who's often young
yes.
and not worldly,
yes.
who, like, manages to break into a cynical gift.
And he doesn't feel good enough. He feels like he is worthless, or, you know, regardless of the money that he's earned, he is not worthy as a person to be with her.
And in fact, it's a twist on compromised and forced to wed, because she's not compromised by him. But ultimately, he doesn't like choose to marry her. He decides she needs to get married to overcome being compromised, and then basically gets strong-armed and manipulated by her into agreeing he's the one who should marry her.
Which brings us into a great section of this book, which is how much fucking sexual assault there is, because it is like over, the cup is running over. I read this book for the first time about maybe a year and a half ago, and then I reread it, and I was texting Meg throughout the whole thing, because we did a reread at the same time, and I was like, I do not remember this much rape in this book. Like,
I think I just blocked it out.
No, also, she's never actually raped, but she is assaulted, or almost assaulted, like at least five times.
Well, did anyone else notice that every time she is almost assaulted, the size of her boobs is mentioned?
No. Oh, no. All
right, let's back it up. How does this book start? What happens in this book?
Do you want to do tropes at all, or are we just flying?
We just did the tropes.
Okay, oh, we're done, because we're not going
to. Are there more tropes?
Well, the makeover moment.
Oh, she has the makeover.
And, like, the in disguise moment.
Yeah. She also knows it's true love because she's actually attracted to him.
He also owns a gambling hell.
Trope. He's got a face scar.
Scars. There's secret passages all through said gambling hell where, like, dirty deeds happen. Country Mouse, City Mouse.
Yeah.
Sad Tragic Orphan.
I mean, to the max. Yeah.
Sad Tragic. Born in a drain pipe.
Is that your Cockney accent?
No. Do I was born in a drain pipe.
It's literally referenced several times.
I had to Google what a drain pipe was. So I don't even know. Because I pictured like a spout off a house, and I found that a baby be born in an on and down spout. That doesn't make any sense. It's like a sewer pipe, basically.
Did you know Marshmallow was born in a
You told me storm drain? This book is, you know that my cat was also born in a drain pipe, just so screaming.
Okay, so how does this book start? Sarah Fielding shows up in the bad part of town.
St. Giles.
Is he in St. Giles? Okay. Shows up in St. Giles.
The whole base of the whole Main Lane series.
Yeah. Which is the only thing it's known for in history.
And she comes across this guy being beaten and, like, scarified.
I would like to add that you see it from his perspective first.
Mm-hmm.
He sees her as an innocent young woman who he recognizes is, like, marked as a victim.
And
he chooses to do nothing.
Yeah, he, like, walks on by, and then he gets attacked, which also is actually statistically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think women get attacked more than men, but men get attacked a whole lot, and they feel, like, totally fine walking around that part of their town.
This is men's rights.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Derek is jumped by these two dudes. And, like, he's being held down, and they're about to, like, scar his face. Okay. So Derek gets jumped by these two dudes. They're beating him up, and then one of them holds him down, and the other one goes to mark up his face with a knife. And Sarah, the innocent young lady that he chose not to help, comes out of the shadows, pulls out a gun, and goes, step away from him, or I'll shoot. And they're like, yeah, right, you're not going to shoot at us, and she does.
She intends to miss in that she thinks she's got no prayer. And then she straight up kills a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is never mentioned again.
It's mentioned one more time.
Sorry, but it's mentioned as a thing she did. There are, like, consequences from leaving, like, a dead body in the alley.
She's like, I feel pretty bad about that. And then the person's like,
nah,
you shouldn't.
He was a bad dude.
It's probably fine.
Well, yeah. And then Derek says to her at one point, are you going to tell your fiance you've killed somebody? She goes, like, I don't really think it's relevant.
Nah. She's like, no. He doesn't need to know.
No, I'm good. Okay, so she kills this dude, and she's like, whoops, killed a guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, but really my priority is the living man with the terrible wound on his face. So I'm going to help him out. So she somehow picks him up, and he directs her to his gaming hall. And they go in, and he's like, get out of here, leave, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't leave because she's Sarah Fielding.
Well, one, because she wants to help, and two, because the whole reason she's in London is actually to learn more about gaming hells.
Research.
And this is the prime opportunity.
Yes. So she helps him up to his private chambers. What's the name of his factotum? I don't remember his name.
Worthy.
Okay.
He's worthy of the title.
There's this guy, his factotum named Worthy. And Derek is like, Worthy, get this woman out of here. And Worthy doesn't do anything.
Well, Worthy figures out she's the author.
Yeah.
Because her pen name is just her initials and her actual last name. So she's not really trying to hide. And between saving her boss and being the author of this
book, we'll talk about,
he decides that she is like God's gift.
Yeah.
And he is going to immediately betray his boss for her.
But this does actually lean into a trope I love, which is the overworked staff.
Yes.
Like the very put upon valet, mm-hmm. the butler, factotum.
Mm-hmm. Who is loyal because of some deep personal story.
Exactly,
and therefore
yes.
is like more family than employee.
Right.
But
right.
also like indebted in a very.
If the valet's like, I was born in a drain pipe. He found me and took me home. So now I'm very
something
loyal.
Like
it's
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yep. No, Worthy story is that his mistress had a necklace.
He, yes. well, he took the fall.
He took the fall for his mistress for stealing a necklace.
And he was going to be put to death, and Derek somehow got him out of Old Bailey.
Which would have been the most interesting part of the story, totally glossed over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, honestly, a summary of this book.
Yeah. Okay, so then Sarah's like, oh, somehow they're immediately attracted to each other, even though this guy's got, I'm talking about Derek here, bloody face.
She's like, I'm super into this because Perry is so like pale and pasty back home, and this man is so virile and alive, and
Perry
got into a fight in a
Perry is,
street.
Is basically fiance. Her.
Well, and most
her,
importantly,
yeah.
Perry has a mom, and this guy doesn't.
This
Perry
guy
has
no mom. Connection.
This no mom situation is really working for her.
He's really she. No, not him. She is really.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, his no mom situation is really working for her.
Yeah.
His lack of parent is like the sexiest thing about him. Yeah.
So then like the next 25% of the book is just him not wanting her in the gaming hell and her coming around anyway.
He also could have said, you actually literally can't be here because I own it and I make the rules, but he just doesn't do that.
Well, one, because dick logic, and two, because he thinks it's romantic to haunt the hidden passages while his valet factorum becomes her best friend and act like he hates it.
Yeah, so she's like learning about the gaming hell, and she comes during the day, not while it's open, and she makes friends with all the staff. So the chef, the girls, the house girls,
who don't work for him and yeah. don't give him a cut of the money. They just use his clean facilities and free doctor services.
Right.
So really, he's doing a service to the prostitutes of London.
Which yeah. honestly, you know. Hats off. That's
it's not that that's bad. It's that he's getting fucking credit for it.
Yeah.
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 It's true.
When, like, he's not doing anything to end prostitution. He's just like, this is a symbiotic relationship where I can make their lives better. And
they draw men to the house.
But he's not actually trying to, like, help them in, like, a systemic way.
Well, wasn't that a part of, that was a part of Devlin Winter, which is not. Sebastian does not inherit, not him. Sebastian does not inherit Cravens. He inherits Jenner's, which is
yep,
the
right.
rival. But his whole thing is like, I'm ending the sex work.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then they go to Madame Bradshaw's.
Yeah.
The only reason the sex work ends at Cravens is because it burns down.
Spoiler alert. It
Jeez.
Does burn down.
Okay. So she makes friends with everyone who works there, and he still is just not. Derek is really into her, and she's really into him.
Mm-hmm.
He steals her glasses. For like, I'm going to be
By
honest.
By the way, she wears glasses because she's but, nerdy.
But I probably know a woman can read.
Only when she reads. She doesn't need them all the time. And she.
I'll keep making that joke until it stops being true.
She misplaces them all over the place. And
Which
so
is insane if that's what you need to read and you're a writer. You think
yeah,
you'd have them on you all the
think.
Time.
So she has more than one on her.
She has two. She says she has two pairs.
But not anymore because he steals one.
He
and again, this is seen as like the most
well, and I also just
romantic.
Because we see like men like taking a woman's handkerchief and keeping it so we can like smell it and jack off to it or whatever. Like, what is he doing with the glasses?
He wants to see the world through her point of view.
With the glass?
That's my question.
No,
what do you use a handkerchief?
No. He's just looking at them.
Can you imagine if he like put them on to jack off and he's like, what?
Yeah, that's.
I can't see anything.
Because I want you to know that's
my
all
dick
I was
is so blurry.
That's all I was picturing. It's like him with a blurry dick. And like,
or also if he was like, wait, I can read better.
Moral of the story, get your eyes checked.
Can I really briefly touch on, I've talked about this several times today. So this is the second in a series. This is the second in the Gamblers of Craven duology. The first one is Then Came You, a book that I fucking hate so much. I hate it so much and it's terrible. And I said in my review that the best thing about it is that it introduces Derek Craven, who is a classic hero of the genre. Not that I love him, but he is significant, and I'm not going to deny that. Then Came You is a terrible fucking book, and I hate it. And I'm sorry if that upsets people, but I hate it. And Lily shows up in this book again. And I reread it last week for this recording, and I was like, maybe I was too harsh. Like, was I being too judgmental and my blah blah blah? No, I hate her in this book too. She interjects herself into everyone's fucking business. She's a bitch. She's a busybody, and I hate her.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yes.
Because after our discussion pre-recording, I don't think I've ever read this book. Does Derek do anything meaningful?
When they do the wager between Alex and Lily to like, it's either she gets 15,000 pounds or he gets to bang her. And Derek's just like, yeah, we're going to let this happen. It's just going to be okay.
Does she lose on purpose?
She doesn't lose on purpose because she's trying to get money so she can save her baby who's with the Italian mob. So she loses and Derek is literally like, my room's right there. Go get up there. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
Hey, he's a businessman.
This is what you agreed to. You have to do it.
Okay, so basically he holds a friend to a wager that involved her having sex, yes, potentially by force.
Yeah, and she gets really mad at him because he didn't try to stop it.
Okay, but also because she thinks that Derek is in love with her, and he kind of
he is in love with
he
her.
He is in love with her. Yeah, like that's the point of it. And that's actually, in my opinion, why Lisa wrote this book. Because people really liked him in that book.
Ah, so he wasn't a piece of shit in that one, and that was setting up for what a piece of shit he was in this one?
Yeah.
This was supposed to be his he gets what he deserves arc, except it turns out he sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's it, pretty much.
Yeah.
My first Lisa Kleypas book was Cold Harder Rake, and I'll die on the hill if I like that book. I know everybody hates it. It's Devin and Kathleen. I don't care.
Oh.
No, everyone hates it. I don't care. And so by the time I got to this one, several books in, people were like, oh, this is her best one. Everyone loves Derek because I knew about Derek Craven Day. And I'm just like, so.
What is Derek Craven
Day? It's February 2nd.
I don't know why it's Derek Craven Day, but it's a day where everyone celebrates Derek Craven. It's a Fated Mates podcast thing.
Oh, okay.
And I went into this book thinking, okay, so I'm going to love this guy. I'm going to, because he's a working class hero. He's from the streets. He's from the streets guy. And I'm just like, at the end of the day, like, he's just kind of a weird, clingy asshole who loved a woman I fucking hated.
Okay, I hate him more than I hate her.
More than Lily?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were talking about Sarah.
Sorry, I'm stuck on Lily. Sarah's fine. I don't care about Sarah.
Derek is worse than Sarah. I didn't think that was controversial.
Sarah is totally fine. I just think she's such a bland.
With Mary Sue?
Yeah, kind of Mary Sue.
The issue with Sarah.
Except
she can read. Yeah. Well, Mary Sue can't read. So the issue with Sarah is that she's so bland and like so boring.
Yeah.
It's very odd to me. I really don't understand the.
I can't summon up emotion about her at all.
Right.
No. Whereas Derek sucks balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
They had no chemistry to me. There was no chemistry. Like.
Well, I'm never going to find chemistry in a situation where, like, the naivety of one, primarily the woman, is romanticized versus the experience.
Well, that's
inherently, I find that gross, even without nature.
Totally. His whole thing is like, oh, she's so pure and innocent. That makes me super, super hard because I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because I'm from the
South. I'm going to send you back to your fiance, tainted good.
There's no explanation for me as to why they actually fall for each other. I get that they're attracted to each other. Yeah. And sure, maybe there's attraction out there that's just like comes out of the blue. And you're like, I don't know why I think this guy's hot, but he's hot. But I don't know why this is like this deep, abiding love.
It came a bit more gradually for him. Like, I felt his part of it was more believable. But with her, it was just like, out of kind of halfway through the book, out of nowhere, it's like, yeah, I think I'm in love with him. Like, well, where the fuck did that happen?
I think, in all honesty, here's my projection. She felt like she really had two options. Harry sucked. So she's going to put all of her emotional energy into Derek. And I meant in my summary, like, she invents people for a living.
Yeah.
I think she reads into a lot of the everything surrounding him and into how nice Lily is to her, knowing that's her best, his best friend, I know. But she's like, oh, I could, like, the life I picture with him is appealing to me.
And so much different than what she, like, her provincial life that she's having in the country.
Yeah, like, pretty much total Belle complex. Yeah. And so I don't say that to be like, I believe the love story. Like, if anything, I'm saying I believed she fell for circumstances rather than the person. It was doomed to disappointment if this had any reality to it.
Yeah.
But I think that was the appeal for her, was just how different and dead-momed he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different and dead moms. DDM.
That probably means something else and now we're canceled. Yeah.
So 25% of the book is basically her hanging out at Craven's and him just like watching her and being creepy and stealing her glasses and like once in a while coming out. Like when she's alone on the balcony and being like, I was watching the whole time.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, why is that
very vampiric?
Yeah, it is. It's very vampiric.
Let's talk about the masquerade.
Okay.
We have Sarah showing up in disguise. Yep. We have Derek there not recognizing Sarah in disguise.
Right.
We have Lily abandoning Sarah to the wolves.
Oh, yeah. Knowing she shows her out of the carriage. Bye.
Sarah's tits are out. So, like, sexual assault is imminent. It's
gonna happen.
And we have Joyce.
Yeah.
At this masquerade, who is Derek's former mistress, who he noped out on because she was wild in bed.
But psychopathic.
Deliberately unexplored in terms of what that meant.
She was a bit clingy.
She was clingy and kinky. And when he was like, I'm kind of bored of you, she went psycho and had his face slashed. So she's ultimately responsible for the person who cut his face wide open.
Insecure attachment style.
We'll call it. I have 2 degrees in psychology.
Okay, I believe you. I have none. So I'm just going to have to take you at your word. Because clearly I can't.
So anyway, Sarah's hanging out at this masquerade. Like you said, tits out.
Tits out, guns out. All these men are hitting on her. And Derek's like, who is this woman that everyone is into and who my former mistress is cornering? He doesn't actually see that.
Yeah.
But
now Worthy does know that it's Sarah.
Yes.
But he's the only one. Everyone else thinks she's Matilda.
Which is the character in her novel.
People are so...
She's been hanging out with them for weeks.
Of Matilda the novel.
Oh, should we talk about Matilda then?
What's it about?
My prostitute named Matilda.
It's about a whore named Matilda.
And at the end, she may or may not kill herself.
We love an ambiguous ending. But it is really, it was the Genesis, not the Genesis. This book is ripe with like weirdly judgmental sex work because in one hand, Matilda is explored as like she was a fallen woman who had to fall into sex work. On the other hand, Derek Craven is.
This is Matilda,
right.
Quote unquote, at the.
Because no one believes that her novel about prostitution in London is based on a fictional character.
Everyone's like, oh yeah, that
person. And I do think as the reader, you're supposed to be like, oh, this means she's a really good author. That she fooled people into thinking that this is real.
I don't think that.
I thought that it just meant everybody was really stupid.
Yes. And she's like, everyone is so dumb, they don't understand what fiction is.
Maybe I was more charitably interpreting it. Because I was like, oh, she's such a good author, there's no way this is fake.
So they're at this masquerade. And Derek is like, who is this woman with the sexy boobs, basically? And he's like super horny because he's been around Sarah all the time, but he hasn't been able to do anything except like rub up against her. Which
does he never
partakes of the house wenches.
So Masquerade, he gets her and he's like, all these people in this club are super into Sarah, so I am going to take her and claim her as mine for the evening.
Yeah.
And he takes her back to a sex room.
And by Sarah, we mean Matilda, because he doesn't know it's Sarah.
I refuse to differentiate.
But he doesn't think it's Matilda. He's not that.
He doesn't think it's Matilda. He's not one of the
judges. He doesn't care. He's like, who's this hot bitch?
He's like, she's anonymous, but she's got some hot
boobs. She looks kind of like someone I want to fuck, but I just can't put my finger on
it. Vaguely Sarah-looking person.
I mean, he can put his finger on it, literally. Just not figuratively. So they go into the sex room.
Yeah, it's a great clit joke.
Thank you.
Sorry, third nipple. I split.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Keep it in.
Okay, so they go into the sex room. So they're about to do it. Like, they're about to go all the way.
Oh, her boobs are out.
Her boobs are out, and he figures out that it's.
And he.
He's mad.
Is. No, he's too far gone.
Yeah.
Lovely visual.
Yeah.
So he's like, fuck this, taking my pants off, and it's going in.
Yeah.
He's
when Worthy interrupts that.
When you're fully erect, you have no choice.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole dog metaphor. This is where we get the drawn dog metaphor.
That's true. Yeah.
Because she's like, why am I feeling so achy? And he's like, it's a drawn dog. So Worthy's like, hey, Jenner shows up. Worthy's like, hey, Evo Jenner came in here, and as we all remember from Devil in Winter, he owns a rival gaming house.
Yes.
And so Derek is like,
red-headed cad.
Yeah. Derek is like, god damn it, Evo Jenner better be in this club or I'm going to be really pissed off at you.
So fun fact, Worthy was both trying to get Sarah out of the situation, but also Evo Jenner was really in the club, except Sarah and he met in the course of Sarah's escape following their being caught.
Yes. So, yeah, because Worthy's like, get out of here. And she's like, okay, I'll just be a moment. And then she escapes through the
passages.
What are thoughts on Evo? Like, he's not a character. His character's mentioned in several books, but we don't really get a read on him. I feel like he's kind of a human being, like, shrug form. Like, meh. Like, it's
like, yeah, like,
do whatever.
She's pretty clear that he's jealous of Derek because Derek. He's more successful than him.
We know he's a pretty absent father to Evie.
Yeah.
Later on, if you read
Devil
in Winter.
He's like, gets really into the hanging. He's like, oh yeah, I'd love to watch a hanging.
He's super into hanging. That is a thing. I always kind of felt like he was a pretty good like character to just kind of dismiss. Like, this is the guy who's
successful. Can I overanalyze him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, let's do it. I think he's supposed to be a foil for Derek.
I think he's supposed to be the human embodiment of Blood Will Tell.
Uh-huh. Say more.
That even as he's acquired all of this money, he hasn't acquired class.
So you think Derek is the son of a nobleman?
No, I think Derek never really does rise in society in the same way. Evo and Derek, and this is the way in which they're similar. Derek just learned to talk pretty. Like, Evo is Derek without the veneer.
He can't talk. His cocky never goes away.
Right. So, like, I think in a lot of ways, Blood Will Tell. Derek's blood also tells. Evo just has the accent to show it.
Not to interject, because I'm not part of this podcast.
No, come on.
But there is definitely a part towards the end where they basically just get accepted into the town. And it's very much implied, like, Sarah's here now, so, okay, Derek's fine. Like, we'll accept Derek now because he has this wife.
Kind of. I mean, they also say...
And because he has so much money.
Yeah.
Well, that's the bigger thing. Yeah. Sarah's not Tom.
Yeah, but, like, he wasn't really, like, accepted in the town before Sarah. He got a respectable wife, and they're like, all right, fine. We have enough money that we'll just let this slide.
Well, they talk about how if they had tried to belong, they would have been ostracized. But because they didn't care...
Yeah.
The town is like, oh, you don't care about us. Well,
we're going to care about you real fucking hard.
I think he's just supposed to be a foil for Derek and just be like, this is what Derek could be if he was just fine with his life. Okay.
She meets Evo in the room.
Yes.
And he ends up leaving with her.
Yes.
And there's
a raid and Evo's like, we got to get out of here. They get out of there and she's like, I'll go with you, Evo. Why not? You seem like a nice guy. They get in the carriage with together. And
they leave before the raid. So Evo just convinces her, like, hey, you don't want to be here, pretty. They're going to put you in a carriage home. I'll take you to my club.
Yeah.
They leave together. They get on the road. And while in transit between Cravens and Jenner's, there's a raid.
Yeah, but she knows there's a raid. She's like, did you set that up? And he's like, yeah, maybe. And then on the way to his club, there's a riot.
Mob.
Yeah, because there's a mob head riot. Rioting mob. That has rioted because they're not allowed to watch hanging.
Yes, there was a riot at the hanging because people in the mid to late 19th century loved watching people die by hanging. And when they were deprived of it, they got mad.
Yeah.
It was a terrible time in history.
Fucked up shit.
And so then Sarah's like, oh shit, like, what are we gonna do? And Evo just kind of abandons her.
Well, because she's like, Evo, they're taking your horses.
Yeah.
He's like, my horses matter more than your life.
Goes to punch people.
It's the first time that Derek appears the equivalent of hopped up on bath salts and fights everyone in his vicinity.
Girl, yeah. So true. He's high on, like,
male rage.
I'm on the exact right amount of fentanyl. I'm coming in to save my woman.
I'm in full berserker mode. I can take on 10 people.
Yeah.
I will kill all of you. I will save her. And even though they parted at Craven's on really bad terms,
yeah,
they have a conversation in which he is basically like, I recognize I don't deserve you, but my boner for you will not abate.
I love you so much. He doesn't say I love you, but he's like, tells her all his secrets. And all about his past and how he grew up and like where how he got a name, like to try to get her to leave him.
Right. I was born a poor black child.
No, he was born in a drain pipe valley.
A drain pipe. Don't forget the drain pipe.
Pipe. So basically he tries to scare her away, and he thinks when she leaves that evening, it's because she's like, you're right. You are too unworthy of me due to your impoverished upbringing.
And then she goes back to Grove Corners. And have we talked about her fiance? Not fiance.
We haven't talked about her.
She has a boyfriend who will not commit to her. His name is Perry. And if that doesn't tell you enough, I don't know what to say.
Okay. So she gets back there and she's like, this is enough. I'm going to get married. Derek will marry me and he won't fuck me. So she's really pissed off about that. And she's like, I'm going to get someone to fuck me.
Tries to make out Perry.
No, he's not like, yet.
Oh, sorry.
She goes to see Perry and Perry's like, oh, I don't know if we can get married. And she's like, Perry, if you do not propose to me, I'm done with you.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Like you. This is not an ultimatum. This is a statement of if you don't already know, what will it take for you to know?
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, her time in London has given her a little bit of backbone, I guess. And he chases after her.
She didn't kill a man.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
and he does propose, and she's like, yes, I'll marry you. But then the problem is, even though they're engaged and, like, actually planning the wedding, he just can't measure up to Derek. And he doesn't want her to write anymore.
Harry wants her to stop writing, which Derek did not. He was encouraging her to continue her art.
Perry also wants her to move in with him and his mother.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Because I would kill myself. But Harry's mother is a nightmare because she's a, Perry is a,
mama's boy?
No, Perry's mom is a,
helicopter parent?
Boy mom. You're right.
Well, when you're right, you're right, girl.
That's the figure out. She's a boy mom.
Yeah. So Perry's like, I just don't understand. The two women who I love the most, like, why can't they get along? And Sarah's like, not that I don't get along with her, it's that she's a bitch.
And she is a bitch.
She's terrible. Bitch. And so then Sarah's like, okay, God, like, he's like a nice guy. Like, maybe he could be hot in bed.
Well,
like,
she wants to make out cost fallacy because they've been married for like 5 years.
Yes.
Right?
No, it is 100% sunk cost fallacy.
Yep. Yes.
Like in Grover's Corners, she will not find anyone better than Perry.
No.
And maybe that is or isn't true, but that's what she believes.
Yeah. Probably. And so she's like, okay, maybe I can at least have a baby and like
the whole life. Yeah.
So she approaches him in the stable.
and tries to make out with him. And he's like, oh my God, what's your tongue doing in my mouth?
Perry, who is probably gay, does not want to proceed with the proceedings.
He's like, what happened to you in London? You're just turned into this.
You became a slut in London. What's going on? She's like, I met a man who was friends with whores.
And I learned about the clitoris.
And she was like, we're done here. If you can't even kiss me, like, I don't want you.
Yeah.
But they break up, but
kind of.
Everyone in this room collectively agrees the breakup is ambiguous.
Yeah.
Sarah may believe that she basically said it's over and I mean it, but everyone kind of has sympathy for Perry being like, I thought that was just a fight. I think it was clear she meant we're breaking up. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think the way Clypus wrote it, she believes that like this was deliberately ambiguous. Yes.
Yeah.
So at this point, she's invited to a house party at Lily's.
Yeah.
Lily is the worst at social planning. Like, if you have to host a wedding and you're like, where should everyone sit? Do not have Lily plan the seating chart.
I won't continue on my rants.
You don't have to because you already did it. So Sarah's like, should I go? Should I go to this
party? She dumps to Perry and she's like, fuck yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going.
So she shows up. Derek had no idea she was going to be there.
I mean, she, like, honestly, Sarah thought, oh, well, Lily has a party. She's not going to invite Derek. And Derek was like, oh, she's having a party. Sarah's not going to be there.
But Lily was like, how can I be the biggest bitch ever? And then she
invited her. So, and Joyce.
More significantly, Joyce and Joyce's husband. And there's some argument made about how Joyce was only invited because everyone's afraid of offending her husband. But, like, that's bullshit because you could have just not invited all these extraneous hangers on to your clear romance plot.
Just invite Derek and Sarah.
Correct. So Joyce convinces another dude that in order to sleep with her, as in order for this man to have sex with Joyce, that man needs to first rape Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this dude's like, I'm in.
This seems rational. So he breaks into Sarah's bedroom, is over her, holding her down. It is
like her mouth is about covered. To rape her. It's very explicit.
It's very evocative.
Yeah.
Of course, Joyce corners Derek and in that moment says something along the lines of, well, at least now she'll have something to compare you to.
Yeah.
And he's very quick brain algebra math, like totally that meme that everyone's seen. He's
yeah.
just like, X plus Y, W, C.
Yep.
Oh, somebody's fucking raping her. So he runs up to her bedroom. Again, second time, man smokes bath salts. And just like,
Joyce is cackling on the stairs, which is like the unnecessary villainous female thing. She's like,
Derek bursts into the room, beats the rapist, but Lily makes the point to Derek in the moment when Sarah is just too distraught with feelings and response to, like, really process. She's already ruined.
Yeah.
The whole house party's going to know this guy was in her bedroom. Doesn't matter what she did or didn't happen.
I hate Lily, but she is quite mad. She's like, look, this is what's going on. Like, oh, logistically, this is what's happening.
I mean, like, yes and no. I don't know. I do feel like this is really kind of a... It's a fake argument. It's yeah. not like actually true. You know, Sarah could go back to Berber's Corners and it be fine.
And no one would know.
You know, no one's gonna know. And also, do we truly think that if someone like was raped,
yes,
they would
in that time period? Yeah.
I think that this is a little bit overhyped for romance reasons. I think Lily is basically like, how can I twist this horrible situation to my advantage?
Because that's what she ever does. All you right. see her do is twist situations to work for her. Or work for what she wants.
After the assault of Sarah, Lily and Derek come up with this list of dudes that Sarah could marry to like make this.
Derek work. Comes up with
yeah. the list. Because Lily's like, you're gonna marry her, right? And he's like, no, I am not.
So Derek comes up with this list. He presents the list to Sarah, and Sarah's like, absolutely fucking not. Like, nothing happened. Nothing that ruins
she's like,
me.
She's
I
like,
settle.
If I'm going to get married to someone, it's going to be you.
Well, and at this point, she has confessed to being in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, has he reciprocated? Absolutely fucking not. But she has. So she's like, all right, I'm in love with you. And he's like, okay, so I'll marry you. So he takes her back to Craven's because he feels like he has to actually ruin her before he can go talk to her father about a legitimate proposal.
Like, yeah, because he has to you until I fuck you.
Yes,
yeah.
Sure. So they have a sex marathon. Then.
It's a lot of sex. And also, I really do like seeing, like, seeing Lisa come up with stuff that's going to happen later. Because this is what Winterbourne does.
Right. So then they go to her dad, and he's like, all right, I'm here to prostate myself.
Prostrate myself.
So he prostrates himself, and he's like, want to marry her, and Perry shows up, and he's like, I thought we were still engaged, and her dad's like, whatever, and he's like, I promise to make her happy. Yeah. Anyway, they run off together.
And there's the thing over here, Sarah's like, well, like, when I kissed, when I kissed him, it was better. And the mom was like, wait, what? You kissed them? And she was like, hee, hee, hee. Okay, then she got married.
Yeah. So anyway, now they're engaged. Sex marathon.
No, no. They already got engaged and had a sex marathon. Now they get married and there's more sex marathon.
Right. So her father gives permission for them to get married.
Yeah,
engagement. They actually get married. Then sex marathon 2.0.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch of, I'm going to come down. You're doing this club business. And he's like, I'm going to do you business.
She does the whole
do you business.
Lisa Kleypas thing, which is she like glosses over the next month and a half of their marriage.
And for the record,
the weeks later,
the only outstanding conflict is that Derek won't commit or admit to feelings. Yeah. Yeah. The only outstanding conflict at this point.
So like the next like 10 pages are like, they bought a house. They did this.
They fucked in these places.
They had sex over here. And society likes them, but then this happened. Then Sarah wrote a new book. Like,
whatever. Yeah. So then Joyce
breaks into the club
and is like, fun fact, I've decided that the only reason he won't fuck me is you, even though he jumped me before he met you, and even though I'm just at this point psycho vulnerable.
Yeah.
The equivalent of a man can't just be a like person committing treason. If he's a treasonous person, he also needs to be a bastard, literally. Yeah. So she can't just be a jilted ex. She has to be psychotic.
Right.
Going back to
summary.
Going back to your point. So they, Joyce abducts her. Derek is basically told she's fucking dead. Because Joyce takes her, the Cravens burns down.
Yes, Cravens burns down. No, Joyce burns down Craven.
Right.
She takes,
did not pass the voice.
She takes Sarah hostage in a like,
yeah,
very Lisa Kleypas? Very LK way, and which is like, my last 100 pages are insane. I'm gonna take somebody hostage, and they're in a carriage.
Yeah,
they're in a western field. There's nothing for miles except for like
a tower.
Stone.
She's like, you know what I'm gonna do? Gonna imprison her here forever and make her sexually pleasure me.
Yeah, because being a lesbian is crazy.
And this will, I, you know, you make Derek happy, so you must know secret sex tricks.
Yes.
You'll make me happy.
Again, this idea of kink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As presented in historical romance remains problematic.
Not great.
Not great, Roland. So, but then Joyce accidentally stumbles, breaks her arm.
Yeah.
And Sarah's she like,
fell down the stairs like a fucking idiot.
Well, also, she like takes her to the room and Sarah's like, I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
She kind of pushes her a little bit and she falls down. And I mean, if she had died, it would have been the second person Sarah killed. But she doesn't even die.
That would have been fine.
I know.
But so Sarah at this point now has the upper hand. Joyce apparently didn't even have this carriage driver in her own employ. So Sarah's like, we're going to your husband.
She's like, take us back to town and take me to your husband. In the meantime, Derek has come home from whatever errand he was running to find that the club has burned down. He thinks that Sarah's dead.
Yeah.
Lily and Alex take him in their carriage to their estate so that he can, I think they even knock him out.
They just take him to like, yes, fucking sad.
Well, yeah, but like he won't get in the carriage and he's like, you gotta get in his carriage.
He passes out.
Yeah, he either passes out or gets punched out by Alex just to get him in the
carriage. Yeah.
They take him over there. He like mostly wakes up, and then he just is. He's like, "No, I gotta get out of here. I gotta go find Sarah." And
yeah.
Runs out the door, and Lily's like, "Go get him, Alex!" And Alex is like, "Dude, like I
he's I can't. Gone. I'm he not doing that."
He's like, "I tried already once. Like, it's not gonna happen. Just let him go." So that's what's happened in the meantime. Flash, you know, to now, but we're back to Sarah, and she brings the tables have turned.
She is bringing Joyce to her to Joyce's husband. She's like, here's your Hellcat. And he's like, freaking writing Joyce, what did you do? And she's like, I don't know. And he goes, well, you know, she's been a real pain in my ass since we got married. So I'm going to ship her off to Scotland. And we're like, that's really convenient. Right? This is all working out very quickly.
And I love the how Sarah's like, hey, she's been doing a lot of really bad shit. And he goes, well, think about what your husband did. Derek Craven is not exactly innocent. And Sarah's just like,
fair.
Yeah. He kind of deserves a slash on the face.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Sort of, what was the Scottish thing?
Macbeth?
Oh, that's, I'm thinking of Hammurabi's Code. Scottish. I was confusing Hadrian's Wall with Hammurabi's Code.
So Sarah's like, okay, great. I took care of Joyce. Like, she's going to be in Scotland, which is the worst punishment of all time.
Yes. Correct. It's like going to the Louvre.
And she's like, I better go find Derek, because he's probably real sad right now, you know? So she goes, she's like, where can I find Derek? I guess at the club. She goes to the club, which is completely burned down, just ashes.
Ruins.
And Derek is literally at the club, like on his knees crying, like searching to find her bones or something.
Yeah.
I think she's dead. He's trying to find her body.
So Sarah shows up. He's like, oh my God.
The ghost.
I thought you were going to die. I thought you were dead. I thought I'd never get to say the words out loud. I love you.
The end. Yeah. Except it's also not the end, because we have an epilogue.
No, I'm going to go this way.
I literally forgot about this from the time you guys talked about it on fucking Friday.
What happens in the epilogue?
We are recording
it's
to you.
It's like, what, a year later?
Maybe. I mean, I would assume so. She's had a baby.
We have a daughter, and he's a grandpapa. He loves to carry the kid around in his arms, but the main thing that happens is that he suckles her voluptuous titties on their milk, because there's a weird breastfeeding.
There's literal description of milk coming out. It's like,
look. You know me. I don't react to anyone's young, but also.
Yeah. I will yuck that young.
It's the first time that they can have sex after baby.
Yes. It's been like a year since they've had sex.
No, it has not been a year since they had sex. It's been like how pregnancy works. It doesn't have pregnancy works. It's been like 6 weeks since the baby was born. So
no, it's been a long time since they had sex.
Yeah, but for Derek, a long time was like 5 weeks.
That's true.
And she's like, oh, I've just been embarrassed to do it. And he's like,
my body is different. I'm like, that's understandable.
And he's like, don't be embarrassed.
I'm into it.
I love it.
Give it to me. And then he breastfeeds.
And he breastfeeds.
We don't love it.
And he breastfeeds.
And he breastfeeds.
And I'm literally texting you like, why is there a breastfeeding?
Yeah. And I think it's the only one that appears in her books.
Yeah.
She doesn't really go into key stuff a lot. There's this, and then there's the suddenly you rest,
suddenly
pussy scene.
And, well, and the butt. So can you raspberry you?
Suddenly you.
Yeah, suddenly you is the, well, no, there's like bondage in Worth Any Price.
There's bondage in Devil's Brain. If you're
bald. Don't even.
There's extreme bondage in Devil's Brain.
Extreme bondage. Anyway, Lane's back.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
I think I need to apologize.
For abandoning us?
No, for whatever this episode has been.
I'm not sorry.
We had some technical difficulties, and we just had kind of a maybe too much fun talking about the book. Anyway, Allie, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Allie Learns to Read. You can find me on TikTok and Facebook at I'm Never Credited on My Stuff, so it doesn't matter. And you can find me on the internet at Allie Learns to Read. I don't know.
Allie, I hear that you have a Patreon coming up.
There's a Patreon coming up on May 6th. I'm going live. I'm going to be recapping full books, starting with the entire XR series. It has been a pain in the ass, and I don't love it. But I am having a good time also at the same time. But
pay Allie money for that.
Thank you
Do
so
it.
Much. Yes, please. It's funny, I promise. Jessie laughed when she read them.
I did laugh when I read it, and I'll laugh when I read it again.
And remember to rate, review, subscribe. Check us out at Plot Twists, wherever you consume internet stuff.
Thank you.